Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man. Today we begin with chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. In reading this text, I was impressed with the fact that Jesus' conversation here implies the importance he gave to personal faith in himself. The man was a Jew, no doubt. He had been reared in Judaism. He'd probably attended the synagogue, but Jesus didn't assume that that was enough. And it reminds us of Cornelius, that centurion, in Acts chapter 10, who worshipped God, prayed, gave alms, helped the poor, and he helped build the synagogue of the Jews there. And yet, that wasn't enough. God sent an angel and said, "Send down to Joppa for Peter." And he did. And when Peter came back, he got instructions from the Lord to go with the men that the centurion had sent. And he was amazed that here he was with a bunch of Gentiles in the home of Cornelius. Well, the man was a good man, this Cornelius, that is, but God wanted Peter to come to preach the gospel to him. Being good is not the same as being born again. Goodness will not get one into heaven. One must hear the gospel and, of course, believe the gospel. God wanted the centurion in Caesarea to hear the gospel and to hear about the forgiveness of sins, and Peter preached that to him. And he concluded his message by saying, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins." Cornelius and his entire household that day received eternal life. The text tells us that. A good man needs to hear the gospel. A good man, regardless of his religion and all his activities, is lacking truth, God's truth. He needs the grace of God, and that's only found in the gospel. So Jesus here in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John is stressing the importance of faith. He asked the blind man who had been healed, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Well, the man didn't know who the Son of Man was. Remember, this is the first time he has seen Jesus, because when he was with Jesus before, he was blind. And then he went and washed the clay off in the pool of Siloam, and Jesus was gone when he returned. All he knew was that the man who healed him was named Jesus, but he didn't know any more. Now he meets this man who asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And of course he said, "Who is he?" "Well, you're looking at him," Jesus said, "and he's speaking to you." There's no doubt about that. Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man. He first, of course, had to know who the Son of Man is. You can't tell people to believe in Jesus if they don't know anything about Jesus. So we have to educate people at least a little bit, and that's what the gospel is intended to do. Who is Jesus? He's the one sent from God, born of a virgin. He became a man, just as we are. He lived and he spoke for God, but the people crucified him. He was buried and resurrected and ascended into heaven, and today he lives on high, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. That's what the Bible teaches. And all these things that happened to him took place according to prophecy. This is the Son of God who came, he said, to seek and to save those who were lost. Now Jesus is telling the man who had been healed from his blindness, "Believe in this person who healed you." And that's our message. What for? So we can be forgiven of our sins. So we'll be accepted by God. Otherwise, we'll be separated from God eternally. Now, please notice the expression, not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. Now, you prove how well you know your Bible by being able to distinguish between these two expressions. I'm going to assume that nobody knows the difference, even though some of you may be insulted by that. But you always need this review. When Jesus talks about himself being the Son of God, it means he was born of God. He is God's Son, and God was his Father. God fathered him in the sense that he impregnated the Virgin, and Jesus was the result of that. Jesus, the man, and Jesus, the God-man. But the Son of Man expression is different, and don't assume that he is just a representative man. He calls himself the Son of Man, and this expression is found 83 times in the four Gospels, 13 times in this particular Gospel of John. So we better know something about it. Jesus did not say, "Do you believe in a Son of Man?" He said, "The Son of Man." Jesus is the Son of Man, just as he is the unique Son of God. That means there is no other like him. The Bible speaks of only one such person as the Son of Man, and the term has its origin in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. This is Daniel speaking. "In my night vision, at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming from the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days," and that's a reference to the Father, "and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." All this relates to the earth, does it not? That's where all the people, all the nations, and the men of every language are who are going to worship him. So this is the origin of the expression, Son of Man. It refers to a person who was with God in the beginning. This term was used by no one else in the Bible except Jesus, and it was a self-designation. But why this term? Well, probably to identify himself with the Father, as Daniel did in chapter 7, and to indicate his authority to rule the world of men, and to be their judge at the same time. This is stated in John chapter 5, verse 27. He does have authority. You can't have any more authority among men than to be a judge, and Jesus said that would be the case. Listen to verse 27 of John chapter 5. Jesus is speaking. He said, "And has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." Now, that Son of Man is of heavenly origin, and that's established by the fact that the first use of this term in the Gospel of John, the term Son of Man, is found in John 1, verse 51, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, the former blind man, in chapter 9, verse 38, said, "I believe," and he worshipped him. The word worship in this gospel always refers to divine worship, not simply some kind of reverence. Anyone claiming to believe in Jesus today ought to have a similar attitude toward Christ. It ought to be an attitude of reverence and submission to the Son of God, who is the Son of Man. He is the Lord of glory. He is the representative of the Father in heaven. He is the only one of whom God had said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And later at the Transfiguration, that voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now that ought to call for submission and attention. Well, this blind man had come a long way. As you read the text of chapter 9, we see that he first spoke of Christ as the man named Jesus. When he was questioned about who gave you your sight, A man named Jesus took mud and put it on my eyes, he said. Then, when they asked him his opinion later in verse 17 about the identity of Jesus, he said he is a prophet. Notice the expression. First, he's a man. Now he's a prophet. And next, he implies that he is a man from God in verse 33. And finally, here in this section, he worships him as his God. Now, the final three verses of chapter 9, we find here a condemnation of the Pharisees. Listen to it. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." I'd like to ask, how would you like to stand before a group of educated people and explain those few verses? Obviously, there's figurative language here, and that always makes it a little more difficult, because we have to make sure what the figures stand for. Before we attempt to understand this verse, verse 39 especially, I think it would help if we listened to Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. He said, referring to the Pharisees, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." The context of that statement concerns the criticism of Jesus' disciples for not washing their hands before they ate, and the Pharisees accused them of transgressing the traditions of the elders. That was part of the religion of Judaism, and people followed what the rabbis had said ought to be done. They developed hundreds and hundreds of such laws in addition to the Word of God, and eventually they gave more attention to their laws than to God's laws. Now that's the context here. And his disciples said to Jesus, "Did you know that you offended the Pharisees when you said that?" And so he answered with this, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind." And he also said to those Pharisees when they were rebuking him, because of his disciples' actions for not following in the traditions, Jesus said that they transgress the commandment of God for the sake of their tradition. And this is what offended them. Now, blindness here, in this context, is used metaphorically. What's a metaphor? A metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or a phrase that ordinarily means one thing is used of another thing in order to suggest a likeness. We use many metaphors in common speech, and metaphors are found in all languages. If you ever want to teach the Bible, you better understand that the Bible makes use of metaphors. Well, I'll have more to say about that in our program next week. I'll be here, and I hope you'll tune in. If you are learning from this broadcast, please tell a friend. Until next week, this is Nick Calabota, reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.